Happy Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. Thanks for joining us.
May your memories be happy ones and as you memorialize your weekend.
Yep. So,
really, I think we could end there. That's our message this week.
We are grateful to recognize those who have fought to preserve our freedom.
And it all starts in 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
I believe it
ended with my recent great-grandmother's death a number of years ago. That's the last memorial grave I go and memorialize. Columbus and her, that's it.
We're all alive in my family, so.
That's unfortunate. I'm really sorry you don't have anybody to go and see. No graves.
I mean, there are some dead people, but no one that I'm close to. So,
it's really quite fantastic when you get right down to it.
I suppose so.
Birthdays are much easier. Just flowers to the grave.
I wish I had a birthday.
Many of you don't know this, but Jeff is actually a Jehovah's Witness. Born without a birthday.
I was never even born. I just appeared.
He has no day of birth.
I just showed up.
Bless his heart.
Well, our listeners don't know that I'm a convert to the church and I actually was a Jehovah's Witness, so.
Oh, that's right.
What? Why are we laughing at that story of mine? I don't understand.
It's just serendipitous is all.
Is it because it's ridiculously false? Anyway, how's the life, my friend?
Life is well.
I believe
we have a twin first this week.
What's that?
I'm recording this show while I'm camping.
Really?
Yes.
Where are you camping?
We're camping. I'm in Missouri. I was invited many moons ago and decided Friday afternoon that, you know what, I'd go home for Memorial Day. So I hopped in the car about 5 o'clock, got into the Kansas City area around 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
It really takes
that long, goodness.
It's 630 miles.
Yeah, that's like an 8-hour drive.
It's like a 9.5-hour drive.
How slowly do you drive, sir? Provo is 645 miles from my house. And there are stops, of course, but generally 9 hours go by and I'm there easily.
That was about it. Let's see. I left at 5.
There is the time zone change, though, so.
And I got there at 4.
Where's the line for the time zone? Is it just on the Colorado border?
I have no idea.
With Nebraska?
In fact, my clocks never change. I just add an hour to it when I'm home and take away an hour when I'm gone.
You're crazy, man. Are you there seeing your family, or are you just doing your own thing with whomever?
No, we're here visiting. I got some service going on this weekend. Have to come and help some people move and yada yada yada.
Look at this,
it's
man.
Exciting.
This man is a man of service. I love it.
I'm an enormous man, Jeff. It's my lot. My cross to bear is that of moving people or getting things off high shelves. Both those things, it's understood that I will do.
I do that all the time at work. I mean, I'm never gonna. I even hate saying I'm tall around you, but you know, I mean, I'm in the taller
like
bracket at least.
What are you? The 6'1" midget?
I'm the 6'2" midget, but yeah.
6'2" midget.
So I'm in the taller bracket, but I'm not, you know, overwhelmingly tall or anything like that. Same thing at work. The median height. Okay, I'm surrounded by nothing but little women at work. Our whole office is just women, except for two guys.
I love little women,
and they're all tiny. So they can't reach anything, so I just walk all around the office just reaching things that are at my eye level.
Actually, for the listeners, tall women is my preference.
Are the best in the world. I love the tall girls, dude. Love it. If I will say it right now, if you are 5'9 or 5'10, please contact me.
What's a 6'2 guy? You're just like diluting the pool. I mean, if I married a tall girl, then my kids are like 9-foot giants and we're just making bigger and better people.
And if I marry a tall girl, they'll still be reasonably tall. Hello.
You settle it into mediocrity. So your kid, maybe he'll be 6'2". A bunch of normal, average, mediocre
people. Lies, because women that are taller tend to be from even taller people. Every girl I've dated that's been, you know, at the taller end, 5'9 or up, let's say, has come from a family where the men are all like 6'3 or 6'4.
Or 6'8.
Or 6'8, like you.
Which is what we need.
So the point is, I think those jeans are solid. It's the problem is when you're dating these short women that assure you that they have tall jeans. They're like, no, 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 it'll be fine. Our kids will still be tall.
I'm like, but
you're 5'3". How can you guarantee this? It's in my blood. I'm serious.
You should have seen my great aunt. She was like a 9-foot woman. It's like, all right, if she really lived in the Amazon, I guess we'll be fine.
Though it can be true. You've met my family, Al, and I am the odd one out. So
yeah, you're tall. Everyone else is miniature.
My mom's like 5'5". My sister's 5'3", because that's what she insists that she is, and 5'4". My brother's
5'3" and 8-inch heels, maybe.
And my brother's about 5'10", and my dad's like 5'7", so I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
Doing my woeful thing. But tall women, we salute you. We give you the twim salute.
God bless and good luck.
Bless you all, tall women. Oh, you make
so anyway, yes, I'm here. I'm here camping. So time is of the essence as I am camping. So
we had a work party. Oh, sorry. Time is of the essence.
Oh no, how was your week, Jeff? I'm sorry.
No, it's nothing major. My boss is going out on maternity leave in her office, so we surprised her with a baby shower on Friday. And we did it.
Dude, you are so in an office of a bunch of women.
Yeah. So we did a potluck. And rather than be lame and just buy something, I decided to make something. So I made a Spanish tortilla, a tortilla de patata, a little Spanish omelet.
I'm glad you said it that way. I would have had no idea what it was
tortilla. That's why I translate. Well, you need to understand it's not a tortilla in the Mexican sense.
It's more, a Spanish tortilla.
It is more like a big omelet kind of thing. So,
oh, I love omelets.
Eggs and potato. It's this big thing like a tart. So
oh,
anyway,
like Denny's. I've eaten that.
Yeah, just like that. So I made it. I love making my Spanish food. I was kind of let down to like nobody ate any. I was
no way. They were all too scared of it.
I don't know if they were scared of it. It doesn't look as exciting because its color is basically yellow and tannish because it's just potatoes.
You never
and eggs.
Bring an egg dish to a potluck.
It's potatoes,
Jeff.
And eggs, and it's not eggs like I'm not, dude. This isn't like potato salad. No, you need to understand.
Still a mistake. You're
not how
you're
it is. No, I think I was outdone by delicious cherry tomato salads or couscous with dill.
Did anybody? No one touched it. Not even
no,
you, Derek.
Some people did, but I couldn't pretend I wasn't sitting there like, "Oh, come on, people! I worked hard for this. I want you to enjoy the delicious Spanish food that I also love."
Oh, poor Jeff.
I was it hurt my heart.
Well, that's actually an exciting story. Thank you for sharing that. That makes me happy.
That's really all that's happened to me this weekend, I swear.
You made a lovely dish.
I made a lovely dish. Friday was exciting, and then the biggest, one of the most important freeways in Southern California was closed for 12 hours because a gas tanker blew up. It was pretty awesome.
Well, awesome, except that people probably died.
No one died, surprisingly. The driver even got away.
Which leads us to our first story.
There it is. Oh, I forgot. I was going to start this week with the rundown beforehand. Anyway, yeah, we're going to surprise you. Let's just go. We're just going to go straight into the stories. I'm not going to tell
right.
you.
I'm going to lead with our first story, which is the Draper Temple president dead.
Hey, you're jumping around on me now.
I know. I got excited. Oh, it was a perfect death transition one.
Yeah, the Draper Temple president is dead.
That's like...
It's kind of sad.
You know... We pay our respects, of course. We're sad to hear this, but still, you never hear about this. That never happens. So,
yeah,
Draper.
It's true.
I mean, does there need to be a bigger message to Draper? Draper, get your act together. Quit,
repent.
Quit with this stuff.
Draper needs to repent.
How oft would have gathered ye, even as a hen gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. Thus he took his temple president from among you. Withdrew.
It's kind of sad because the Draper Temple has only been there dedicated for
maybe
what,
there's
six
a carbon
months?
Monoxide
six
leak.
Months at that.
That could happen.
There might be, but to properly pay the respects, this is President Donald L. Staheli.
Oh, I love Staheli.
Who
actually.
Was formerly in the second quorum of the 70.
I know his talks well. And what a perfect weekend to go though. Memorial Day weekend. I mean, like that's like getting married. On a birthday, or
yeah, he went last night.
Having a child on Christmas. I mean, you're just like you're doing everybody a huge favor. So a death on Memorial Day, no one's ever going to forget that. Perfect.
But it's not Memorial Day.
Well, ish. It's the weekend.
However, since I'll jump in on this, there has been birth on Memorial Day.
Oh yes.
So tomorrow, everyone, President Henry B. Eyring celebrates his 77th birthday.
There has been birth.
So May 31st, 1933 in Princeton, New Jersey, President Eyring was born. So everyone remember that while you're out roasting hot dogs and playing at the pool. Remember that a member of your first presidency is 1 year older and personally one of my favorite speakers of all of them.
Pour one out for your proverbial homie while you're out at the lake.
Cecil.
Maybe a 7-Up or something of that essence.
Yes, those of you on Utah Lake enjoying the sweet surroundings.
Make a plate for Elijah or Hal Eyring, if you will, and set it aside at the barbecue.
I believe he
in hopes that he will come.
I believe he prefers to go by Hank, but I'm not sure.
No, he's Hal.
Is he a Hal? Okay.
He's a Hal.
Anyways, hey, I gotta say though, seriously though, I love President Eyring. I love all of our first presidency in the 12, but President Eyring's always been one of those ones where his talks have resonated quite a bit with me. So.
Oh, the man does good work.
Does great work.
Well, in his book, what's his book, Drawing Closer to God?
Was it Drawing on the Powers of Heaven? No. I know which one you're talking about.
Drawing Closer to God, I think.
Is that the one?
It's a little green one. It's like pocket size. It's brilliant.
Is it?
Well, it's substance. Like, it's the go-to for any talk, right? You have to give a talk, you can get, like, a great story or a great quote on virtually any topic.
Oh, yeah, it's called To Draw Closer to God.
Pardon me.
No, I just looked it up. It's on Amazon for $8, so.
What? Everyone order it for Henry B. Eyring's big day. Let's put him on the Amazon top seller
list.
Dude,
that would be awesome.
That would be so good. All of a sudden it shows up there. It's like, number one book today.
Okay, I want to.
Drawing Closer to God.
And just to get for kicks and giggles, I am trying to find this here. All right. I'm comparing. Okay, check this out. To Draw Closer to God by Henry B. Eyring. This makes a lot of sense. $23.95 on DeseretBook.com. $7.99 on Amazon.
Dude, the church has got to get with the times. You can't compete against Amazon. Just get out of the book
market. So there
market.
You go. Unless that's a hardback version, but it's no, this is the hardcover, my bad. I figured that couldn't.
It's a tough place
to
be, man.
I figured that couldn't be right. But either way, you know they're charging more. But hey, President Eyring, we salute you. Thanks for everything you do, sir.
See, all the best books of the month. Let's see what these things are selling at.
Desert book, Desert.
Oh yeah, we could take out Lady Girl at the, what is this? Ladybug Girl?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, we can knock her out.
I honestly,
Ladybug Girl at the beach.
I don't know.
Henry B. Eyring should have that spot. Or we could oust The Lonely Polygamist. That's the best bookseller of the month on Amazon.
You're kidding.
Dude, how great would that be? That would be like an all-time great for Hal. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So everyone who's listening, as you hear this tomorrow, buy To Draw Closer to God from, we're saying from Amazon, yes?
Yes, for $8.88.
From Amazon. I found it for $7.99. What are you talking about?
Oh, buy it used, people.
But $7.99 is cheaper than $8.88, Al. Look, I know that numbers aren't your strong suit. You only did business stuff for college, but I'm just saying.
I'm a businessman. I make complicated decisions on complicated analysis.
You can get used from $2.71, though. Anyway, folks, go on there. It is a great book. I haven't read that book in a long time, so thanks for bringing that up, Al. I think it would be something worth looking at once again. But
absolutely, in his memory.
In his,
even though he's
in
alive.
His honor.
Happy Memorial Day.
Honor with a U-O-U-R.
All right. So something cool happened this week. The church has unveiled a scaled model of the Salt Lake Temple.
Dude, I am loving this. Please continue, but I, for some reason,
this
I
is
love
the
this.
Most.
I love this.
I love it because it's great, but also because it's so random. It's like the church put some huge, huge effort into this. So it's an 88-inch tall, near identical replica of the temple in the South Visitor Center on Temple Square.
Yeah.
It's a permanent exhibit, open up to the public, so anybody can go in and see pretty much like all the inner workings of the temple, like room wise and what's where and yada yada yada. And the church, like, you know, some of the detail is so fine that we had to find people that were capable of doing it at that scale, said Josh Cowles, manager of the project. I mean, it's like they really, you know, when you go to build a model, they knocked it out of the park. I mean, I've done a few, you know, kind of fighter-era airplanes from World War II.
Yes.
Mainly bombers, and it was normally those hang glider foam ones that you'd slide the wing into.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all the modeling I've done, and I was impressed with that work. But this sounds like it's magnitude.
It's like a step up, yeah. Yeah. I actually fancied myself a modeler back in my youth.
A part-time modeler?
Yeah, I was a part-time modeler. You could be a part-time modeler. No, I did. I used to build stuff like that. I used to love to build model cars out of the full kits and everything like that. It was kind of a weird little way to pass the time and have thinking time. Anyway, but this, I love this scale model. It is amazing. You know what's another funny thing is if you try to amplify the photos, I've never seen this on the church website. Instead, I get a notice that says this photo is copyrighted, all rights reserved, and then I just get, and that's it. Like, you can't make it bigger. What's up with that? Church getting stingy on being able to see photos?
Hey, you don't know how hard it is, but you can watch a video.
And we will post the video on thisweekinmormons.com, so check it out.
Sweet.
If you don't want to bother going to the newsroom for the church, go to our website and you will be able to watch it there.
No one likes the newsroom.
I think this is neat because for bigger temples and the older temples, I often, it's amazed with some of these buildings, and I often wonder how everything is laid out inside it.
Except for the Hawaii temple, which is very small and basic.
The Hawaii temple has the most gnarly layout I've ever been in.
And it's all made of cinder blocks because that's all they had. Like, I didn't realize this, but the Hawaii temple is like the fifth temple of the church.
Yeah, oh yeah. Was it the first one of mountain. The Hawaii Cardston Mesa trifecta?
Yeah, it was the first one, I believe, out of the continental U.S. Because
they were all built. Those three were all built around the same time, but I don't know the exact dates of dedication. Yeah, the Laiewe one is fascinating on the inside, to say the least. Like, I was amazed when I did the session there, how you have to walk like around the baptismal font just to go up the staircase to get around. It's really weird the way it's laid out, but
it's just small. Like, they use the most of their room.
I guess the way I see that one is laid out. That surprises me is that it feels like it was laid out as if they changed things as an afterthought to fit it into a pre-existing structure, but they designed it that way from the get-go, so that's why I think it's kind of interesting.
Right.
Anyway, so check it out. The Salt Lake Temple model, it's awesome because you can see right down here at the very bottom level, you can see like, oh, look.
And if any of you fancy yourself modelers,
yeah,
you'll be interested.
Look, there's the garden room.
I challenge you to model a 188 replica.
Now, I will report on this. I'm going to Utah in about a month, so I will go check this out, and I will take photos.
All right. Yeah, we'll have a TWIM exclusive.
I will keep this hot story alive.
We will put a reporter on the ground.
Here's one I wonder about, though. Look at this. Look at about the third photo. Are you looking at the page right now?
Uh-huh.
The third photo in that looks like the eastern facade of the temple.
Yes.
What are all these like little dinky rooms that are on the wall right there? I'm trying to figure out what that is or means or...
Well, actually, you'd be interested to know that back in the day, those were all actually, like, they foresaw the need for podcasting rooms from the temple.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Little fun fact for you there. And they would also, like, they like to have disappearing doors or, you know, like the secret passageways.
Yes.
And they would just go into a room. So it was like a little joke that Brigham played where you would open the door thinking you were sneaking into a secret room, and it was really just a tiny room.
Oh, okay. I'd always wonder. So it's kind of like the Winchester Mystery House.
Exactly.
Are there also doors?
Stairways to nowhere.
There are doors that open to just walls, for example.
Absolutely. See, and Brigham, I mean, he was a practical joker. And you ask anybody who knows him, he was.
He was famed for his jovial sense of humor.
And this is the prank that keeps on pranking, man. You can't beat that.
I want them to make these models for every temple now. Salt Lake is the most complicated, but the Los Angeles one is also very complicated. And I've learned my way around bits and pieces of it, but there are tons of places I've seen.
I think we should start making these models for historical figures. Like a Christopher Columbus, where like he had half the gut cut away and it showed his deteriorating liver due to the liquor consumption.
What would be the point of... But why? Hold on. What would be the difference in doing it for any historical figure as opposed to any human in general? This is just like a... And they make these little models where you can take off the chest and then see the innards.
Yes. See, I'm thinking
Because the inner workings of David Bowie are more important than the inner workings of
you're gonna see a burst appendix and like the remains of that. And then maybe a pancreas that's failed and deteriorating and a liver that's giving out. I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm laughing.
The layers of fat that maybe some of us would have versus like the toned muscle of others. I mean, I think give me a historical figure and cut away half his body. Let me just take a look at the inside.
I'm really confused by you right now.
I haven't slept a lot lately. I hope that doesn't affect
my
performance.
I don't know how I feel about anything you've said so far today.
All right.
Well, then, moving. So check that out, everybody. It's cool, especially if you have a weird OCD mind and like to know how stuff's laid out or how it works. So. And I always have. I would love to have a free pass just to go walk around the Salt Lake Temple and just find whatever I find. You know, wouldn't that be rad?
I do that. Do you not do that when you go into a temple? Like, just go and
I do
wander?
A little bit. It depends on, like, L.A. I've wandered around a little bit. But
dude, I'm shameless. Like, I will like climb it. Stairs and poke in rooms and just anything that's unlocked, I see if I can get it.
Have you ever been to Manti?
Huh.
Okay, when you go to Manti, just brief. Manti, of course, is cool and historic and older, and it's also the only other temple where they still do a live session.
Right.
Manti is famous for its staircases and the two towers, which are completely self-supporting. There aren't any posts or anything. Basically, every step bears the load of the one above it. It's this weird thing of physics. It's a really cool staircase because there's no central column that supports any of it.
But you're not allowed to climb it, are you?
Not really, but it's funny because it's almost like a mini museum. You can go to a temple worker and say, hey, we want to see the staircase. And they'll walk you over there to the tower and talk about the staircase and the history of it. And at the same time, there's some random old desks and this and that with little signs on them that are of historical significance. And it's like you would never see this on your own. So it's almost like this mini tour of the temple if you happen to be lucky enough to do a session there.
I want one of those for the Draper Temple president, Staheli. He should have a random desk somewhere in that temple that's like, here's Sat Staheli.
Hopefully you can get your way around. See, like Newport Beach, for example, I believe I've explored the whole thing. Because they're on a lot of surprises.
There's only eight rooms.
Yeah, there aren't many surprises in the smaller temples. It's pretty straightforward. Though I've never been in the women's locker room. Or even on that side. Or that hallway. So.
Congratulations.
I've never been over there. Their hallway might...
Not only do you go into the temple worthy, but you leave worthily as well.
I'm just saying. Maybe their hallway's totally
Bravo.
Different. Because you know how these mini ones are. Not mini, but smaller ones. You walk up, hallway on each side. Each side has a dressing room, and all the ordinance rooms are in the center. And then at the very end is the celestial room. And then when you leave, you know, women go out one side, men go out the other, because their respective hallways are that way. I've never been on the female hallway, ever.
It's probably for the best.
My heart hurts because of this.
However, at my work, we have, of course, we have men and women's locker rooms, right? But because my work, we only have like one woman and 40 men. And the exact opposite of you, actually. And it's interesting because we store all of our stuff in the women's restroom because it's like a big locker room. And the men's is super utilized. And so we store all like the work stuff in the women's restroom. They got like leather couches in there. I don't know what point people decided that women needed to have like a man lair and men just needed urinals and one bathrooms, you know, one stall. But like the women is like this club atmosphere. You go in and it's like, you know, 70s deco and ceiling lights and little spotlights and stuff and leather couches. And you go in the men's and it's like wood bench. Like, come on.
That is reprehensible.
They are living the man dream.
Yeah, what's up
That's
with
what's
that?
What's happening?
Down with women, unless they're 5'9 or above. Anyway, I'm going to move on here. A little bit more of a serious topic. You might remember many months ago, it seems, there was an article published in the Arizona Republic about a woman named Sherry Richardson who was devastated and angry at the church because she was not LDS, nor was her family, but her son joined the church and got married in the temple. And it caused a lot of drama in their family, basically. But it was a very prominent article. It was 3,000 words. It was on the front page of the Arizona Republic. It said temple wedding off limits to non-Mormon family. Did I say temple winning? Temple wedding off limits to non-Mormon family. So it was a big deal. I think this was back in March when this happened, and it talked all about this. I think we discussed it on the show. It's kind of fun, though, that instead now another woman instead wrote her comments. Her own opinion piece. She is also non-LDS, but she responded with her own opinion piece. Called A Non-Mormon Mom Joyful Over a Temple Wedding. Hello.
Uh-huh.
Hello, some woman named Selk is her last name. And I can't find her first name right now while we're talking. So I don't know what it is. Lisa Selk. So anyway.
Yes, continue.
Anyway, so it's just, I just like the contrast in this. It's a difficult issue. I have many friends that are converts. And I can't imagine... I don't know what their relationships are with their parents regarding their joining the church or how their parents feel or don't about it. But I've definitely seen, I've seen the whole gamut of it. I haven't seen that many hostile parents, but I've seen a lot of parents that seem indifferent to the whole temple wedding thing.
Yeah.
I guess the harder thing is what I've seen in the past is I've seen some people that have gotten married, but because I didn't know this about the church. This is something I learned in the past year, actually. You know how, generally speaking, in the United States, because our temple weddings are recognized as civil marriages by civil law, you just go get married there and that's it. And generally, if you go and get married civilly outside of the temple, you have to wait a year to get sealed, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are a convert who has not been a member for a year. Did you know there was a loophole with this? I bet you didn't.
Well, I know, like, European weddings, they'll go and...
Well, that's totally different because European countries don't recognize the wedding in the church as a civil wedding, so you have to get married
at
the courthouse or wherever.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so a lot of the other countries in the world do it differently, like that, where instead you have a number of days. It all depends on where you live in whatever country you're in. I think in Scotland they had 2 days to go to the temple to get sealed after they got married. But then afterwards, and if they don't do it, then they have to wait the year like anybody else. So it all depends on the country and your distance to a temple and all that stuff. But this is a different thing I didn't realize was possible. So if you have not been a member for a year, you can get married, and then you can still go to the temple after a year, because generally you can't receive your endowment until you've been a member for a year. So you can get married and then be sealed in the temple after your year mark. So I knew someone who got married, and then... they got married for whatever reason. They didn't want to wait. They got married civilly and la-ti-da, and she was a convert. And then they went and got sealed like a month and a half later. No big deal.
Wait, and she hadn't been a member for a year?
And she hadn't been a member for a year. So that's the deal. If you want to get married in the temple, but you haven't yet been a member for a year, but you're going to get married before your year is up, you can get married civilly and then still go to the temple after you've been a member for a year, not wait a full year after your civil marriage to get sealed.
That's the fast track to heaven, man.
I guess so. I feel like that's almost too easy for the converts if they do it that way, though. I mean, I feel like that's unfair. Other people get married civilly and they got to wait a year. These people are like, no, I can just have my cake and eat it, too. The point is, I can imagine that doesn't cause a lot of drama with family because they're still able to have the regular wedding that they always envisioned and then not care at all about your sealing. That's your personal...
The normal weddings are such a disappointment, though. I mean, it's just so... empty.
No, the best thing about marrying non-members, if they have good relationships with their parents, is the parents, you know, we tend to throw lower scale weddings as members of the church by and large, but the world, Babylon, has no problem dropping tens of thousands of dollars on receptions.
Dude, I honestly never knew that it was customary to have a dinner at a wedding until my buddy got married up in Canada. And he's like, well, we got to buy the dinner. I was like, what are you talking about, man? Go get some mints and maybe some egg rolls if you're going to be classy and call it good. And he's like, dude, we can't invite people to that. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. People throw crazy bashes in the secular world.
Apparently, this marriage stuff is a big deal. Like, people really commemorate
it. Yeah, the secular people really commemorate. Don't you like the irony? But I think it's okay that the secular world commemorates a wedding with crazy...
With crazy... Come, show me your secular ways.
Secular world. You know, with blowout bashes, and we who represent an eternal marriage, we're a little more low-key because we believe in the frugality.
Yeah, a little punch. A little punch, maybe some drapes hanging from the basketball hoop.
And not that I haven't seen crazy LDS weddings. I mean, some people whose family built the Newport Beach Temple, you know, if you're like that kind of a person, if your stake built the temple, you're likely going to throw a humongous bash.
A little more affluent, sure.
Sure. Sure, because, you know, your stake built the temple. So, the memories.
All right.
Can you believe it's been 4 years? 4 years ago we were there.
Crazy.
Anyway, so there's that. So anyway, the point I want to bring up is that it's good to see that there's not so much division, that there are non-member parents that can totally support their kids, because that's got to be hard, being a parent.
Well, I mean, the mentality for me has to be, look, my kid is a million times better because he has this in his life. Why wouldn't I support it?
Yeah.
You know, like everybody that I know, you know, like who's converted to the church and has a little bit of family drama at home, maybe. I mean, in the end, you can always come to a consensus that, you know what, he's a much better person or she's a much better person because of this coming into her life. So, you know, even if I don't necessarily agree with the theology, I agree that it's a good thing that it's helped them be a better person.
And you hit the nail on the head. I remember 5 years ago, a friend of mine got married, and he was not LDS. And his family was really cool and supportive of all of that. And his dad said that exact thing at the reception. He said, you know, he thanked everyone who had supported him and his decision to join the church because he was a better person because of it. And I thought that was really nice at a wedding, especially because they were Jews. So it was really fun. Anyway, that's going to be that, folks.
All right. Other news. In Richmond, Missouri, the beloved Richmond, Missouri, which if you've never been there, there is a Walmart.
I thought you said this was Richmond, Virginia. Oh, never mind.
No.
I was all excited. Confederate world.
So, so they have a Mormon room dedicated in the County Historical Museum. Now, this normally wouldn't be any big news, except any, like, church thing in Missouri is huge because it's still a very kind of opposed religion here. I mean, there's still quite a bit of hostility towards Mormons in this area. And so for Richmond, Missouri to actually have an acknowledged Mormon history room in the County Historical Museum, that's big news. So congratulations to them. Well done. It opens next week.
That's it.
That's it. Just a little aside.
So there's some sort of panic room in some place in Missouri.
No, dude. Well, like, this is huge for a city establishment to actually pull in some kind of a Mormon place. Well, and it's interesting because a lot of significant stuff happened in Richmond, and you go there and there's like,
sorry, I just found the article about this, so now I feel like I can share in the excitement.
And there's nothing there. There's just nothing. And so now you have you'll have a couple of spots to go visit. You know, there's like a gravesite. I think Parley P. Pratt was buried there. So there's a couple of significant places and reasons to go to Richmond, but now that they have an actual room, you can go there and feel like you've visited. That's a lot of Missouri church history visiting, is you'll go there, huge things will have happened there, and it's like a field, and there's nothing, right? Hans Mill, you go to Hans Mill, and it's like, well, here's a little bend in the river that is now the local, like, party hangout for teenagers in the area. It's like, this was a little bit not what I expected. So, way to go, Richmond. Making progress.
Good for you, Al. So, I'm going to switch gears here right now.
Take me there.
Interesting story. First off, the Gila Valley Temple got dedicated in Arizona. So, good. Congratulations. I swear that.
Yes, good.
And I just want to send my props to them and my love. Yay for Arizona for finally having another temple dedicated.
They got a mention in the Arizona newspaper. They had like 90,000 tourists come through.
That's good because that place is in the boonies. If you know where Gila Valley is, it's just out.
They were way excited because it's like, this is big. This is big economic impact. Yeah. This Mormon thing could be good.
Oh really? What do you have anything? Why? What economic impact was there?
Let's see what they say. The city is struggling to erase its $1 million deficit, and so they had a 30% increase in tourism due to the Mormon open house.
Well, that's nice.
The church spent an estimated $30,000 on cookies purchased from local bakeries. That's a lot of cookies, man.
That's a lot of cookies. And I think you know President Kimball's from over there, right?
Well, he's from a farm.
It's in that valley, the Gila Valley, I believe. Stanford or Thacker or whatever those cities are. He's from out there, so it's kind of cool because this.
Can't we call it the Gila Valley?
No. What do you want to call it? The Gila Monster, the poisonous lizard, the Gila Monster. It's poisonous and it's a lizard.
I've never heard of a Gila Monster.
Well, you've never watched documentary anything, apparently.
Apparently not.
You just sit there with your Andre Rouillet DVDs.
He's wonderful.
Having all your
that violinist,
having all your fun.
He loves
watching him
Strauss
play his pop violin instead of actually conducting the orchestra, making a show of himself. Look how special I am. I can play while people play behind me.
It's beautiful music. Beautiful.
Oh, look where I did the concert. There's a castle behind me. Ooh, I'm so European. My name's Andre Rieu.
I love castles. La, 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 I hate you, Jeff.
La, 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 la. Andre Rieu. No, 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 no.
Tell me more about your Gila monster.
I think more about I just reflect on memories from a couple of years ago when I walked by your room at like 3 in the morning. That's you're still up. And I'm like, what are you doing? And you're sitting there watching Andre Rieu DVDs.
Hey, I like fine music.
Oh, anyway. So briefly, folks, as we wind the show down here.
Oh, muy bambino, caro.
Just found a great story here. It's called The Dictator and the MTC. Rather interesting. This was just posted yesterday. I think I found this through the Mormon Times. This is actually pretty interesting. It says, what does communist leader Fidel Castro have to do with the birth of the Missionary Training Center?
I don't know.
I think this is,
do tell.
This is an interesting correlation, is it not?
It's not.
Basically, this has to do with our church and then Fidel's Cuba both trying to gain a foothold in Mexico.
Huh.
So Fidel was trying to, you know, communistify Mexico, and the church obviously was trying to increase its influence in the country, you know, and do what we do. And so the church realized, let's see, where was this here? Obviously, I've been looking at this as we've been talking, so you'll have to bear with me here. The point was, well, I'll read right here. As the world watched, Castro gained more power in Cuba after he left Mexico. He'd been visiting there. He admitted he was a communist, and Mexican authorities feared he would again try to infiltrate their country and overthrow the government. This fear caused problems for the missionaries who just wanted to gain visas into the country to preach the gospel, but government officials imposed strict rules and long delays for getting into the country, even to missionaries. Church leaders were also realizing that missionaries sent out to countries without proper language training slowed their effectiveness. So the church decided to use the visa delay time to institute foreign language training at BYU.
Huh!
So in a sense, because of some of this hoo-ha with Fidel Castro, because he went on speaking tours, and LDS missionaries also went on tour in Mexico at the same time on speaking tours. It was like this battle between Castro and the Mormon missionaries.
I you've painted me a word picture. I wonder how much of an actual battle it was.
It was fierce, and my
interesting correlation.
My understanding is that the One Ring was somehow involved. So interesting. The correlation is the fact that apparently the church was worried about losing traction and possibly open society and a capitalist society in Mexico, and realized the missionaries needed to be more effective. So this might have had an effect on actually building a missionary training center, because we needed more. Before that, they didn't have as much language training going out. So.
And now you know.
And now you do know. So I thought that just that I found that, and I thought that was fascinating.
Interesting. Interesting. I would not have green-lighted that story had we put that in the dossier.
What?
Anyway.
How do you not appreciate the amazing things of this? I didn't.
Not a whole lot going on this week, so far as Mormondom goes, but
it's been a bit of a
entertaining
story week in the news.
But we still love it. Love this Mormon thing.
Oh,
we do it.
Yeah.
As we close, we do have a Facebook page now.
Oh, yeah.
Which you are all welcome to go and like. We'll put a link up on the site. Go and like that. You'll get it notified right in your feed of when we have new episodes. And Jeff is going to start doing some random blogging in the near future.
Because Al doesn't like to
do. If you'd like to be notified of what we publish, go throw something on there. Grab the news feed or RSS feed, whatever you like.
Yep. We're working on all sorts of things, and for you Zune lovers, we're going to work on a Zune feed soon, too. So, that's the thing.
Bang around.
Do it all. Love the site. We're trying to reach out to all of you. And I say let's have a logo submission contest.
Let's do it.
We've danced around having a legitimate logo, especially an icon for downloads for a long time.
And when
time.
Jeff says we, it means I've tried to make several logos, and he continually tells me no.
It's because they look like they were made by a 7-year-old kid
with autism.
Well,
I'd like to see you make a logo, sir.
Maybe I will. It just so happens I have lost my logo making resource, okay? So I don't, what do you
tough
what
guy.
Do you want from
anyway.
Me? So please do that, everybody. Visit the website thisweekinmormons.com. Find us on Facebook, This Week in Mormons, and like us. They keep changing everything on Facebook. You used to be able to be a fan. Now you like stuff. It's just
Do what you do on
it's
Facebook.
Too convenient. No, the most important thing to do on Facebook, people, is now that Facebook redid the privacy controls, never select the default privacy setting that Facebook gives you, the quote-unquote recommended one. Do not do it, ever.
Oh, I do that. Everything I have is public. Everything.
Yeah, right. You, of all people, right.
It is.
You're a liar.
No, anybody can go and view what I have.
Okay. Everybody, have a good time.
All right, we'll see you guys.
So
I'm off to camp.
Al's off to camp. See you, Al.
See ya.
And thank you for this exciting quick edition of This Week in Mormons. I think I will miss all of you very much. Yeah. Have a good day. Good Memorial Day. Stop laughing. I'm just running the thing because I can. You're done. Go. Go away. You're over. And everyone have a good week. Once again, this has been This Week in Mormons. Oh, Seacrest out. Oh, shoot.